Good morning to you all. We extend a warm welcome to everyone attending worship today. That includes those who may be listening later on during the week to our recorded ministry via the website. Since January, we are now known as Emmanuel with Highworth, and we are also members of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. The notices are mainly as is published in the weekly news, and there are two which I would draw to your attention, perhaps even dates for your diary. Next Tuesday, as Robert has overcome the gremlins in the system, he will be trying once again to deliver the presentation regarding his sabbatical. And that is due to start at 2:30
in the hall,
to which everybody is invited for an afternoon's amusement and entertainment. Another note for your diary is Sunday the 10th of March is Mothering Sunday. And we would like to distribute daffodils that day, but that takes a bit of organising. We need help for this, so that with your help, this can be done. If you are able to, please let me know after the service, or even Robert at any time before the 10th of March. Our service this morning is read by Robert, our minister, and the Bible readings will be given by Irene Chesterman, and that is from the Book of Mark, chapter 1. Our intercession prayers will be led by John Blakesley, and we look forward to hearing the message of your deliverance thereafter. I will now take this opportunity
Church meeting.
I always forget something. Please join us for a church meeting in the hall after this service. And just to make sure that you do come there, we're going to lock the front door so you can't get away. I'm going to light the Christ candle, which signifies Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments to reflect.
Good morning and welcome to you all on this day. You left the house with more sun than there is now. We hope it's not raining by the time you leave the church this morning, but I can't promise. Jeff is not well, so the choir will be here under instructions accompanying the singing and enhancing the singing of the congregation, but there will be no introit or anthem as there was no a choir practice on Friday. And his coughing would have annulled the intensity of the organ, which is saying quite something when Jeff plays the organ, as you all know. We wish him well and prompt recovery. First Sunday of Lent. And Psalm 25 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees." The psalmist reminds us that all those who thought there was no hope, that life had little or no meaning for them, God says, no, there is meaning, there is hope. This morning we'll be using both hymn books. Rejoice and Sing, Easy Put, is the fat one. Sing Praise is the thin one. the first hymn, Rejoice and Sing, 575, God of Mercy, God of Grace. And as we are singing that hymn, I will light the peace candle. We come together in a time of prayer, giving thanks to God and bringing to God our confession. And we will end this time of prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. We're here after a night's rest, or a night that wasn't as restful as we would have hoped for. We are here. And those of us here today give you thanks for being here. And also our thoughts go to those who, for different reasons, can't be here this morning. Be it health, physical, emotional, spiritual, psychological, be it travel, whatever the reason, O Lord, we give you thanks for the company of those who we love and love us. Them and us, living different experiences, going through different things, often needing healing and health, often celebrating. And we know, though we don't always live by it, but we know we aren't alone. You are the God that's chosen to walk with us. And we thank you for that. We give you thanks for all that gives meaning to what we do and who we are. For this place, for this church, that over the years has been located in different places, but always seeking to serve you, being a place of welcome, a place where people can be who they are. We thank you for that legacy that we hope and wish to pass on to generations that come. We thank you for the beauty that we can be part of. Give us the eyes to recognize the changing of the seasons. Give us the capacity to admire the beauty of music, the talent of those who write, those who challenge us to think deeper, those that teach by word as well as by example. We thank you, dear God, for the talents you have given your people, and that includes us, different talents, different ways of living life coming together. When we open our ears and our hearts to be able to appreciate all that goes on, we see the richness of that diversity. And we also come seeking forgiveness for those things that we mess up. Because we do. Often good intentions fall flat. Often words that were meant to hurt do hurt. Forgive us when we invent truths that aren't there. And forgive us for not being the potential of what we could be. Not magically from one day to another, but in the step by step and day by day. Forgive us when we get caught up in pessimistic thoughts. Forgive us when we don't share with you all that we are going through, as if you didn't care. You reach out to us. Suddenly we hear you calling us by our name, reminding us that we are a family. Not perfect, but seeking, loving and caring. In your grace, take from us that which should not be and make us whole to become that we can be. Remind us that each time we say the words that you taught the disciples, we recognize you as the Creator and each of us as part of the family of God's children. Those of us here and everywhere in the world, so we can say in confidence and in trust, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you didn't notice when you came in, you won't be able to notice when you go out, because as the chaplain for the morning has said, you have to go through the church meeting. If you have to leave, I don't know what you're going to do. But the notice board as you come into the church looks totally, 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 totally different. You're going to find things that you didn't know were there. You're going to see things that were there but in a different format. And I'm doing my best. I'm closing my eyes not to look at anybody so nobody feels embarrassed. But there is the notice board fairy angel. Oh, shut up. I'm not looking at you. You know that there's the tooth fairy, which we depended on when we were children, and a church depends on people like the notice board fairy that takes on the task and does things. And you see it so different that you're going to have to stop and look and read it. So give yourself that time. And there's a notice that's in the weekly news, but I just want to point out, because next Sunday doesn't give you enough warning. The 1st of March, there's what used to be called the Women's World Day of Prayer. Do you remember? It's now called the World Day of Prayer. It's at the Salvation Army on Devizes Road at 10:30 in the morning, and you're all invited to attend. And I just want to point out, these events are prepared with 3 to 4 years in anticipation. You just don't get a group of people to prepare a service with a month in anticipation. This happens the whole world round on the first Friday of the month of March. And this year, God has something to say here, I'm sure, has been prepared by the women in Palestine. So I imagine it'll be quite a moving service given the current situation. But it won't address necessarily the current situation because it was written 3 years ago or 4 years ago. So if you can make it, Devizes Road, the Salvation Army Citadel, the 1st of March, 10:30. And having said that, we continue and we share our offering, what we have been able to set apart for giving to what the church does and how it reaches other people. The offering comes from what we have received and what, in our possibilities, we have set aside, what is in the plate or what we give in different ways, but also our time, our talents. O Lord, bless everything so that it may show the light of your grace in the world, and those who have to decide how it is used, give them wisdom and a sense of doing your will. Amen. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
The reading today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15, and can be found on page 33 of the Pew Bibles. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Easier than the last time, wasn't it? We will now sing from Sing Praise. It's hymn 35. "Forgive us when our deeds ignore your righteous rule on all the earth, when our decisions harm the poor, denying their eternal worth." Before I share my thoughts for this morning, I wanted to connect the whole theme of this morning with the Old Town Partnership of Churches project. If you haven't got one, there's this to be picked up. And if you've got one, you either put it in your handbag already, put it in your pocket, or it might be sitting beside you, whatever. As we said at the beginning of the service, we're part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Our church, Christ Church for St. Mary's, and Bath Road Methodist Church. And every 2 or 3 years, we come together for a joint project. And the joint project this year is for 2 organizations in Swindon. And the aim, as it says on the front page, is to support the younger generation in our town over the next 5 years. One of the organizations we're helping is Swindon Youth for Christ, aimed at ages 13 to 18. And the other is Street Pastors, for ages 18 to 30. Or, if you're over 30 and still are out on the night of Swindon get lost on your way back, they will help you. During the next months, as Emmanuel usually does, each of these on a different Sunday will come and talk to us about what they're doing. But the partnership is organizing a series of events from here till December in the different churches of what can be done, how we can help, bringing us together. Emmanuel is planning, weather permitting, a garden party in our garden sometime in the summer. Events are still being designed. But during the whole year, we will be aiming to reach our target. So please, if you haven't got one, take, read, look, think. Look, even that, I hadn't noticed it before because I knew what it said but didn't find what it didn't say, is there's a silent disco equipment needed. So you'll be able to put the earphones on and dance your hearts away without music disturbing other people. Just imagine what that would mean. Great fun for all ages. And if you want to embarrass your grandchildren, look, no better moment than a silent disco. I'm sure they'd love seeing you dance the night away. Different ideas of what can be done. If you see the weekly news every Sunday, we have these as themes for prayer. We'd like you to keep this in prayer, and in the month of October, as we usually do, we will launch the envelopes, Emmanuel envelopes, for the project. And that's the time. Doesn't mean to say you can't attend other events, but that's the time we will focus, especially in Emmanuel, for our contributions for this. So think of it, pray for it, and whatever you can do, what goes on in the partnership, you're included and feel welcome. Thank you. God of the trackless desert, whose son walked untamed in league with beasts and spirit, whose kingdom is not distance but breaking in among us, give us time and space to find a new identity, to let go of control and walk the pilgrim way. Through Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. Amen. Well, the journey of Lent has begun. The first Sunday of Lent is with us. And it's interesting, it jumps back. We've advanced in the gospel reading, but we go still within the first chapter of Mark. And Mark is a unique gospel among the four gospels. It's not only the shortest, but it starts with Jesus as an adult. There is no child Jesus in this story. There's no birth. There's nothing that leads us up to this moment except that Jesus is the adult. And this Sunday, we hear of John, the Baptist, or the baptizer, according to whatever you want to call him. And he's been preaching, and he's got a very particular message that Jesus will pick up at the end of the reading today. But after that, Jesus' words will always be Jesus' words, and sort of different in spirit than what John was saying. We hear of Jesus going into the desert, where in the Gospel of Matthew, which we know more of, we get the whole story. Here we only have two verses. He goes, he spends there 40 days, the beasts and the spirits are there with him, he comes out of the desert. And then we hear of the baptism of Jesus. Have you ever thought why he does this? Why does Jesus do it? Because if you're going to think of baptism as what we do just by that font over there, forget it. Because we talk of baptism as turning to God, as the incorporation into the church. There is no Christian church yet. There isn't. It'll only come later on. In the book of Acts, the word Christians applied to people like us appears as a mock word. They're the followers of the Christ, the guy that we crucified, and they say was raised from death. Ha, 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 let's call them Christians. Honestly, it doesn't say that. I'm not quoting gospel, but you get the idea. That's the intention of what it says. Why does Jesus do it? Does he need to do it? Did baptism exist within the Jewish tradition? We know of circumcision, and the early church said, well, we're different. There'll be no need for circumcision, because circumcision was for men only. And what happens with women? The nearest we can say that Jesus went through what we would call baptism in our church, the Christian church of nowadays, would be his circumcision, where he was dedicated to the covenant of the Lord. But John preached a baptism of repentance. So unless Mark knows of something in Jesus' life that no other gospel knows about and we don't know about, what was he repenting about? Again, interesting that immersion into water was used in the Jewish times that we read of, but it was a ritual of purity. It was a way of being declared pure of some particular circumstance, and every convert to Judaism was asked to be submerged in water. But that meant to say they had not been Jews before, but were now. So when I read this in the baptism of Jesus, if we're going to think of it as what we know of, or even the Baptist church, or any church that goes through the practice of adult baptism into the pool, it's not exactly the same. Then we hear of Jesus in the desert. And interestingly, the desert has always been the dry, inhospitable place where you're never too sure what's going to happen, where you try and avoid, if you can, as much as possible. And it will always remind the Jews of the desert while they marched from slavery before getting to the promised land. It's that uncertainty of life. I knew where I was. I don't know where I'm going. What's going to happen in the middle? And the gospel says the wild animals were there. Is it a St. Francis of Assisi moment where the wild animals came to St. Francis and licked his hand? Or is it just, I don't want to be near a wild animal? After I'd written this, I saw on Facebook an incredible source of information. This little girl in Australia, you will be able to tell us if it's true or not, but Australia is known for, among other things, wonderful beaches, but one of the myths of Australia, that's where all wild animals are out to murder you. This little girl says, "Mummy, mummy, 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 there are spiders in the bedroom." And so Mummy comes into the bedroom, and in that corner over there, there were 50 spiders. It was a black corner of 50 spiders. And so the mother, she was going to take the girl, "Mummy, mummy, mummy, but look in the other direction." And in the other corner, there was another lot of spiders. The comment said, and you could see them, I'm not inventing this, you could, roughly 120, but nobody stayed to actually count. And they got out of that room as quick as they could. Is that the sense of Mark saying they were wild animals out to catch me, to destroy me, but protected by the spirits? Or was it the friendliness of the animals? We will never know. But that's what Jesus goes through. That's the uncertainty. And why does he do that? Jesus comes out of the waters, and two things happen. The Holy Spirit arrives in the shape of a dove, and there's probably very few big churches with stained windows that doesn't have a dove representing the Holy Spirit in one of the stained windows there. And he hears a voice that says, "He's my son, he's my beloved, and I am well pleased in him." So what's different now? I think what's different is what is to come. It's not who Jesus is, because that hasn't changed him. It's what Jesus does. And it's those moments where we are. From now on, things should be getting easier, if you're just wondering where I'm heading to. The whole story of Lent is how we can be who we are, but what we do, say, and think comes closer to Jesus and his project for us. It's quite clear. The temptation in the desert represents the possibilities of life. Temptation on one hand, the promise of the kingdom on another. And do we know about temptation? Of course we do. We face it daily. And overcoming temptation is a struggle. And you have heard me say this so many times, because temptation is what we would like. The value of temptation, nobody's tempted to do things they are terrified of. It gets the adrenaline going, or we're going. I mean, if you're on a diet, what are you tempted to eat? What would you refrain yourself from saying? No, Robert, no, you're on a diet, keep still. For each of us, it would be something different. But that's what temptation is. I mean, the opposite of what I would like to eat, and if I offend anybody, I'm sorry, is tofu to me. No temptation would offer me tofu. It wouldn't. There is no risk with that. Take it away, I am not tempted by this. But carrot cake? Yes, why not? And that's how temptation works. We're offered things that we would like, not things that we would abhor. There is no risk in that. We all know through the Matthew version that after 40 days of fast in the desert, what's Jesus first offered? Do you remember? What is the first temptation he's offered? To turn the stones into bread. Now, he wouldn't be offered in the first place all the powers in the world. He's hungry. So the first thing that comes is bread. The hungry is offered bread. And T.S. Eliot, in the wonderful book play Murder in the Cathedral, when Thomas Becket is offered temptation, he says it's the right deed for the wrong reason. The right deed, bread. For the hungry, bread. But in temptation by the devil, it's for the wrong reason. I thought that was always wonderful. So here we have the two sort of roads ahead of us. And it all happens. The turning point of this reading today is the last two verses. John is arrested. John is arrested. And that is the signal. Not before this, but after this, Jesus begins his ministry. And we will hear Jesus speaking for the first time in the Gospel of Mark after John's arrest. John, often called the last prophet of the Old Testament, will no longer be able to speak. Jesus has gone into the waters that John was calling people to, emerged, gone to the desert, prepared, and now he has to speak. Now he has to offer us that mission of life. And the next 15 and a half chapters of Mark are that story. And he can only do that, and I'm convinced of this, because he has known what temptation is. Can you think of that? Jesus will relate to us because he knows what temptation is. He's not saying, oh, I never had to go through this, so I really don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean to say you've fallen into temptation? Oh, you weak, weak creature. He doesn't. He will never say that. Jesus says, I know how easy it is to fall into temptation. I know how they will work on your weaknesses, not on your strengths. I'm here to help you through that. If you want to go back to hymn 35 that we just sung, read the words. It's there because it connects to this reading. Forgive us when we turn aside from what is honest, true, and fair. Why would we do that? Don't we all want honesty, truth, and fairness? Of course we do. But why don't we do it? Why don't those in power do it? Forgive us, Lord, our endless greed for what was never truly ours. When driven more by want than need, we harness this worldly's brutal powers. Why is this happening? Isn't it better that we all have a world where all is better? The obvious answer is there, but why does it happen then? And the story is, the first words Jesus will say, "The kingdom of God is nearby." Instead of repent, I like the other word, or the meaning of it, change direction. Change the direction in which life is going, because that's what it means. It's not one direction, the boy band, it's change direction. There isn't one direction, there are various you can go to. But whatever one is not leading to honesty, to truth, to fairness, where the poor are harmed, the immigrant is despised, the women are abused, children suffer. We have to turn away. You probably heard this week, on the news this week for Bristol, three knife murders in 3 weeks. But what shocks me to the core is that a 14-year-old boy murdered a 15 and a 16-year-old. And that, to me, is the horror for the 14-year-old boy that thinks it's at it, for the 15 and the 16, for the parents involved, the parents that have lost kids, but the parents that see that their kid of 14 is capable of doing this. This talks of the collapse of everybody's life. And he ends up by saying, believe the good news. And the good news is a word of hope. And it's in the hymn today. God's plan is for all God's people. And this is what Jesus is to proclaim. He will reach out to the poor. He will let the woman who should not do so touch the hem of his robe and she will be cured. The sick will find something that will help them. The outcast will be brought into the center. Children are put as an example of the kingdom. The weak are weak no longer. That is what he presents as the good news. It's opening a reality, but not to some, to the ones that had never heard it before. The good news that Jesus proclaims is going to upset the political economic world of the time, as it still does. It's not the good news of those that have thrown John into jail. It's not the good news of those who, like last Sunday, remember I said the reading ended, they were out to destroy Jesus. It's a different good news. And this is the one we are invited to be part of. Not the agenda of legalism, but rather the agenda of hope. And God is hope difficult. It's difficult to latch on, and that's where we need each other. We need each other to remind us. We need each other to trust and build up trust together, to give life a meaning. Not because we have all the answers. Not because we know everything. All we can offer is let's walk this journey together. And that is what Lent is all about. Last Sunday we celebrated communion, to remember, and the invitation to communion included the words, "Come not because you must, but because you may." And that is what Jesus brings to us, the opportunity of being different. Jesus confronts the agenda of this era, which is based on temptation for, what does the hymn say? For pleasure, wealth, and pride, to supplant your clear commandments to care, not by need, but by want, the dryness of the desert to the fertility of the kingdom. The message of hope. The first Sunday of Lent sets the mark. Let's try and walk together. Let's feed each other on the journey. Let us be challenged. Let us grow together. We will make mistakes. We will hurt people. We will offend people. We will forget people. But somebody will tell us, let's change our way. And we will find the journey that we aren't alone. God, give us that vision. Round about us, here among us, God of promise and love, good and faithful, strong in mercy, God of promise and love, calling our names, bidding us welcome, God of promise and love, God is among us. Shout the good news. God is ahead of us. Trust the good news. God is within us. Live the good news. Amen. Again from Sing Praise, this time it is the hymn 126, Word of God, Renew Your People. Yes, it is. The first verse is hidden in the music, if you can't find it. John will now lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Let us have a moment together. Forty days and 40 nights you were fasting in the wild. 40 days and 40 nights, tempted and yet undefiled. Everlasting God, your Son Jesus Christ was tried and tempted by the devil. May we never be ashamed of temptation, but save from the weakness of giving in. Help us choose the way of faithfulness rather than popularity, service rather than fame, and sacrifice rather than power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for the whole family of your church, and especially here at Emmanuel in the partnership of Old Town. May all your people be built up in faith and demonstrate their lives the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to play our part in the life of the church throughout the world, through our prayers and by our gifts of money and service during the season of Lent and beyond. Give courage to those who find it hard to follow you. Give us a fresh vision that leads to action and strengthen us to serve you in the place where we live. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for those in positions of authority and leadership, that they do not misuse the powers, but respect and care for all the peoples and for the natural resources of their countries. During our Lenten fasting, may we be constantly aware of those in our world who are always hungry and thirsty, and of all those who have so little when we have so much. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we ask you to protect our loved ones, our friends and our neighbours. We pray that this Lenten season may bring grace to our friends and relatives who no longer practice their faith, and that they may return in the certain knowledge of your loving acceptance of them. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we pray for all those who are ill and in pain, longing to live full lives, for those who are sad and hurt, longing for comfort, for those in hospital awaiting treatment, for those convalescing, seeing an end to their suffering, and for those whose only relief will come through death. May we always offer and strengthen and support to those in weakness. In a moment of silence, let us pray for those known to us. And amongst others, we pray especially for Jeff Gleed this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those saddened by the death of someone close to them. Give them your comfort as they mourn for their loved ones and turn their darkness into light. We commend to you our everlasting love and care for those who have died, praying that they will rest eternal in the light of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, help us to see this time of Lent as an opportunity to develop our discipleship and discipline, and as your Son Jesus showed us how to reject temptation, fill us with grace to be faithful to his example in this Lenten season and the years ahead. So shall we have peace divine, holier gladness ours shall be. Round us too shall angels shine, such as served you faithfully. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 586. We will omit verse 2. All my hope on God is founded, he doth still my trust renew. me through change and chance he guideth, only good and only true. Hymn 586, omitting verse 2. Assurance that God has chosen to walk with us, that walking with the people of God everywhere, we are brought together, here and far. Friend and not so friendly, God's children. And may the blessing of God restore us, give us courage, and fill us with hope in such a way that we can share that hope in the world. Go in peace to love and serve God, now and always. Amen.